Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school, you're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hip-hop, a genre born in the streets of New York in the late 70s, has, since its inception, been a platform for storytelling, resistance, and notably, competition. Within its expansive domain, battle rap emerged as a gladiatorial arena where lyrical prowess is the weapon of choice. The competitive edge honed in these battles often birthed rivalries that transcended the stage. None more infamous than the West Coast-East Coast feud epitomized by Tupac Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. in the 1990s. Tupac and Biggie weren't just rappers. They were emblematic of the larger coastal tensions brewing within the hip-hop community. Initially comrades, the duo soon found themselves entangled in a rivalry fueled by miscommunications and the ambitious machinations of the industry. Each release from either camp seemed to further stoke the flames of discord, culminating tragically with both of their untimely deaths. This dark chapter in hip-hop's history underscored not just the lethal extent of rap rivalries, but also a stark reflection of the social and regional animosities of the time. The contentious feuds of 1990s gangster rap, despite their tragic outcomes, influenced other music genres. As reggaeton started to rise from the studios and dance halls of Puerto Rico and Panama, its artists were drawn to the rhythms of hip-hop and the cultural ambience that came with it. To further understand this, we sat down with an individual who's quite versed in the realm of hip-hop and reggaeton history.
Hi, I'm Isabella Regosa. I am an associate editor at Billboard Español in New York City.
As the rhythms of hip-hop ventured south, they entwined with the pulsing beats of reggaeton, forging a genre synonymous with urban Latin America. The tradition of tiraeras found fertile ground within its hybrid soundscape, evolving into a signature element of the reggaeton realm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of differences, but a lot of similarities between the rivalries from traditional hip hop and reggaeton. You know, we've seen they naturally derive, obviously, from competition and for recognition and the differences between artistic styles and obviously personal conflicts. So the only difference between them, I mean, essentially it's the same, but the only difference, obviously, we have a very different rhythm behind it. I mean, essentially, they're all wordsmiths. They all deal with wordplay And it's another way of artistically expressing yourself with tiraderas. It's another subgenre of hip hop, and reggaeton has adapted that as well. I mean, even just if you look at the foundations of reggaeton, it started off with hip hop and español until it became reggaeton, essentially.
Fast forward to 2002, when the gritty underbelly of battle rap found its way to the silver screen with Eminem's 8 Mile. Eminem, then a rising icon of the genre, led us through the smoke-filled venues and spit-fueled battles that are emblematic of Detroit's underground rap scene. The movie didn't just expose battle rap to a global audience, it glorified it, celebrated it, and showcased it as a crucible where lyricists are forged. Its influence rippled through the hip-hop, and even more surprising, the Latino community across the Americas, ushering in a renewed interest and appreciation for battle rap. I'm Lilia Luciano, and in this episode, we dive into the epic tiraeras of some of reggaeton's most iconic stars. Sometimes they were serious, at times they were silly, but they were always rivalries that shaped and reshaped the genre. You're listening to El Flow Season 2, Episode 3, Rivalries. We'll continue after the short break.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tiraeras became the arena where reggaeton artists settle scores, voiced discontent, and asserted dominance, all under the watchful eyes of a global audience. Rivalries in reggaeton typically manifest through these tiraeras, where artists challenge each other's skills, authenticity, and/or reputations. When thinking about the best OG rivalries in reggaeton tiraeras, I wouldn't blame you if you said Tego Calderón versus Litty Polaco, a feud that produced some of the most lyrically raw music of the time, including Litty Polaco's Quita de la Máscara and Tego's hit Wasa Wasa. But it felt too brief. Or if you said that rivalry that was truly larger than life between Daddy Yankee and Don Omar, you'd also be right. But that was more about professional competition, as both artists were looking to claim the title of the King of Reggaeton. But one of the most public rivalries in reggaeton was the feud between Daddy Yankee and Nicky Jam.
They actually started off with a duo. They were an actual duo called Los Cangris. And the exact moment of their feud hasn't entirely been explained.
They were once an inseparable force in the reggaeton scene, working together under the moniker Los Cangris during the early stages of their careers and the genre itself. The duo created racy club bangers that were the foundation of reggaeton's evolution into the new millennium, including En La Cama, Guayando, and Entre Sabana Blanca. Their camaraderie was not just professional. They shared a brotherly bond that was well known in the music industry. However, as one of Daddy Yankee's most popular songs says, Lo que pasó, pasó. Because all good things come to an end. And their friendship went up in flames.
But basically, Daddy Yankee put out a track that had really like scathing lyrics towards Nicky Jam, where Nicky Jam claimed that Daddy Yankee, eventually he was like in disapproval of Nicky Jam's lifestyle because he was like into drugs and like, you know, just andando de callejero. And so they started off releasing these diss tracks. This is like in like 2004. They went from being practically brothers to enemies at this point, largely fueled by Nicky Jam's lengthy battle with drug addiction, so they have claimed. You know, this was before Daddy Yankee released Gasolina.
The split between Daddy Yankee and Nicky Jam primarily emerged from Nicky Jam's battles with substance abuse. In an interview with Revolt, Nicky shed light on this time in his life. He said, "He was there for me and he was doing something good. He was trying to help me. And I was stupid and ignorant. I gave bad energy, bad mentality. Jails, drugs, embarrassment. My music wasn't popping. I wasn't doing anything." These struggles began to affect their professional relationship. Canceled performances, missed studio sessions, and consistently blowing off Yankee's attempts to help grew the tension between the two. As the conflict escalated, it led to a public falling out, which was a disappointing moment for reggaeton fans who had seen the duo create magic together on stage. The feud manifested in the form of lyrical warfare, with both artists releasing diss tracks aimed at each other. One of the key moments in this feud that Isabella alluded to was when Daddy Yankee released Santifica Tus Escapularios, where he took shots at Nicky's lyrics, like
Sacando el material puro pa la carretera, barrio fino, el cuco de parar tu venta. No importa lo que eres ni lo grande que tú seas, los postes son más grandes y los perros los mean.
That aimed at Nicky's insignificant career at the time when compared to his own by saying
Taking my best material on the road, barrio fino, the boogeyman taking your sales. It doesn't matter how big you think you are, lampposts are bigger and dogs pee on them.
Nicky Jam took a shot at Yankee in his tiraera using Fat Joe's Lean Back instrumental. While the track has moments where it shines, it ultimately fell on deaf ears. Nicky later admitted in an interview with Billboard, I took it too seriously and made a whole song for him. That wasn't a good choice because he came with Gasolina and I look stupid. He went his way, I went my way, and obviously my way didn't go very well. The timing of the feud coincided with the release of Daddy Yankee's hit Gasolina, which catapulted him to international stardom, while Nicky Jam's career took a hit due to his personal issues. A decade after the feud began, Daddy Yankee and Nicky Jam finally decided to bury the hatchet. Fans were even treated to a nostalgic moment when Daddy Yankee and Nicky Jam released Muévelo, their first collaborative track since their reconciliation.
There was just a pause between, you know, all of that, but in an award show, actually in the Billboard Latin Music Awards, this is like in the mid-2010s, 2015, Daddy Yankee eventually expressed his gratitude and appreciation for Nicky Jam, acknowledging that they had misunderstandings, they apologized, and eventually I think it was mainly because, it is believed because Daddy Yankee was becoming, you know, more in touch with spirituality and religion, so he wanted to forgive the ones that, you know, they had beef before, so eventually they ended up reuniting as Los Cangris in 2020, and they actually released a song together, Muévelo, which was featured in the Bad Boys for Life film of that time.
Muévelo was well received, topping the Latin airplay chart and signifying a full circle moment in their storied friendship and careers, much to the delight of reggaeton aficionados worldwide. While Daddy Yankee was certainly one of the most prominent figures in the world of OG tiraeras, René Pérez, better known as the lyrical genius Residente, has made an entire career out of it. But it was the feud between Residente and Tempo that truly spilled over into the public realm and launched a series of back and forths that are truly worth highlighting. The rivalry first took off during a session with Billboard Latin editor Leila Cobo, where Residente criticized the top-charting Latin records for their homogeny, specifically noting that they all used major chords, which he considered an easy route to creating hits, even offering to create one in just 30 minutes to prove his point.
Residente, in a Q&A, where Residente at one point goes on to complain or to just, you know, argue or to highlight why all the charting songs sound identical to him, right? They all sound identical to him. And at the time, reggaeton, we got to think about it. It was crowning all the charts. It was the number one genre in Latin music. There was no representation in Latin music but reggaeton within the mainstream scale. Obviously, we've always had like a rich variety of music. And that's exactly what Residente was trying to say. Like, hey, if Latin American music, it's filled with richness, why is it sounding the same? You know, it's sounding identical.
This stance garnered criticism from artists in the past, even from artists like Ivy Queen, who questioned the Latin Grammy win by Residente's former band, Calle 13, in 2007 over, quote, real reggaeton artists. Tempo, a veteran of the reggaeton scene, took offense to Residente's remarks and responded with a diss track called Calle Sin Salida.
I guess, you know, Tempo took offense to Residente's statement, and he released a tiradera himself called Calle Sin Salida, bringing into question Residente's authenticity.
In the song, Tempo questioned Residente's masculinity, called out René for not being an authentic Puerto Rican, and challenged his approach to making urban music. Residente responded with Mis disculpas, showing off his lyrical skills, delving into his Puerto Rican-ness, and again challenging the simplicity and popularity of mainstream reggaeton, in contrast to what he perceived as more intellectually engaging music. And while Tempo retaliated with the diss track El Bruto, it was Residente's release of La Cátedra that put the nail in the coffin of this rivalry. René starts the song like this.
Hijo, aquí va mi crítica. Con la primera te di tan duro que en tu segundo intento te puse a hablar de política. Luego de esta me meten al manicomio, y no es un chiste, por estar tirándole algo que ya no existe.
Okay, here comes my critique. With the first one, I hit you so hard, I had you speaking politics in the second one. No joke, after this, I'll be put in an asylum for coming at something that doesn't even exist. he laid it out for the world to see. The two artists ended this very public battle when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico in 2017. When Tempo and Residente met to distribute donations to the affected populations, Residente said, "Here, there's no time to fight between us. We are all children of El Cañaveral," meaning we're all Puerto Ricans, and a hint to his song, Los Hijos del Cañaveral. But if I had to choose one modern rivalry that brought out the fire in René, it would be the feud between him and J Balvin.
It all started when J Balvin stated that he announced a boycott call for the Latin Grammys of 2021. And it was what he had perceived to be a lack of música urbana representation in the nominations. So note, the previous year, which was 2020, Balvin had been nominated for 10 awards. And in 2021, he was only up for 3. So that's just an interesting fact.
On Twitter, Balvin posted, "The Grammys don't value us, but they need us." And continued with, "We give them ratings, but they don't give us respect." Raised fist emoji.
So Residente also took to Twitter at the time, "Querido José, this year is dedicated to Rubén Blades, who was the person of the year that year." So basically, according to Residente, J Balvin is telling música urbana artists to boycott the awards and not celebrate the artistic life of Rubén Blades, right? Which, you know, he says this is a man who marked the history of Latin music.
While the tweet drew support from many of his followers, Residente, a 27-time Latin Grammy winner, responded to Balvin's boycott call with a sharp-witted analogy. In response, he compared Balvin's music to a hot dog cart, criticizing what he saw as the commercial aspect of Balvin's reggaeton music.
And he says something like, it's like if a hot dog cart got offended because it couldn't earn a Michelin star. So your music is like a hot dog. Almost everybody likes it. But when those people want to eat well, they go to a Michelin-starred restaurant. Obviously, this is where, you know, things get a little more intense and a little bit kind of comical. So J Balvin ended up deciding to release hot dog-inspired merch to make fun of the situation.
On his Instagram, he posted a picture by a hot dog vendor with the phrase sal y perrea, which translates to go out and twerk, promoting the remix of the same name, Sech and Daddy Yankee, and taking a jab at Residente by writing, "For every hot dog, there's a Residente." The words implied that for every fun and enjoyable moment, the hot dog, Residente always has something to say that perfectly pairs with it, the Residente brand beer. But as the words simmered and the media festered on the verbal sparring match, the disagreement between Residente and Balvin took a more profound turn. Shortly after teasing fans with the news of an upcoming single, Residente dropped a bombshell in the form of an extensive, nearly 10-minute-long diss track. This fiery number was crafted in collaboration with Argentinian producer Bizarrap in 2022 as number 49 of his now very well-known Music Sessions.
So not only does he kind of go and spit bars, but he kind of follows like J Balvin's career, like the missteps. He talks about when he accepts his award as an Afro-Latino, where in reality, the Afro-Latino community in Puerto Rico founded Reggaeton El General, Hector Calderon, DJ Negro, Ivy Queen.
The track was a no-holds-barred critique divided into 3 distinct chapters. The lyrics show René as his most candid. And in chapter 3, El Caballero de los Espejos, he directly targets Balvin with hard-hitting lyrics, such as...
Es tan inseguro el pana que tiene que estar anunciando por Instagram cuánta lana gana. Es un imbécil con tinte de cabello que puso a mujeres negras con cadenas de perro en el cuello. Este blanquito de colegio todavía no entiende el fucking privilegio.
He branded Balvin as both a coward and a racist after he released the music video with Toquicha walking with 2 black women on all 4s on leashes like dogs. Residente digs the knife in even deeper by calling out Balvin's insecurities, evidenced by Balvin's need to flaunt his wealth on social media.
and more. And also just when he was seen like walking these women on leashes, that was just a very pretty bad, you know, move for him, you know, very offensive. It was like Residente was basically saying that he was pretty tone deaf. Like, so it just basically talks about that. And I mean, and he just used him as an example to kind of discuss a larger conversation of reggaeton.
René even posted on Instagram calling out Balvin's attempts to stop the song from being released. René says that he received a call from his label, and allegedly Balvin's record label was threatening to sue unless they stopped the track's release. However, the song was released, and shortly after, the feud went silent. This tiraera became another notch on Residente's belt, a lyricist who seemingly thrives on stirring up the waters of urban Latin music. But while many of reggaeton's past and present icons have found themselves in the middle of heated public rivalries, social media outbursts, and on-stage lyrical disputes, a new generation of tiraeras is evolving in Latin America. One whose style and flow mirrors hip-hop's own rap battles, but whose focus is uniquely Latino and deeply rooted in reggaeton. We'll come back to this after a short break.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When drawing parallels, we can see how hip-hop and reggaeton rivalries reflect the quintessential spirit of competition in music. Although they're born from different eras and circumstances, they converge on the narrative of struggle, ambition, and the relentless pursuit of lyrical supremacy.
I think it's Feuds and tiraderas are a really interesting way, like I said, because it is a subgenre. It is an artistic way of rapping. It's a skill. Not everybody possesses that skill. And I think it's pretty fascinating to use words as tools of expression, but also instead of like picking up a gun, you just spit a verse, a diss line. And I think that's fantastic. The biggest difference is that within American hip hop, there have been historic incidences where it has led to deaths, right? Like obviously the Tupac and Biggie situation was something that really defined that, right? It, like the dark side of viewed between the two coasts of rappers, like something that might've started off like playful, especially in that kind of mainstream level, turned dark.
As a means to avoid this tragic outcome, a burgeoning culture has emerged that promotes healthy rap fights, which also highlight the talent of underground artists in Latin American countries. A realm where words are both the medium and the message. And among this burgeoning culture emerged a tradition known as Batalla de los Gallos, a lyrical combat where words were wielded with the precision of a gladiator's blade, where every beat and rhyme reflects a blend of competition, creativity, and a desire for recognition.
There have been artistic forms and new projects that have not only helped enhance tiraderas, but really make it a very positive thing. For example, like these freestyle battles, like Red Bull's Batalla de los Gallos, El Quinto Escalón from Argentina. There's so many other organizations in Mexico and Latin America that have been making stars out of urban kids that have a street language, and they fuel this, they enhance their lyrical content by providing them a space where they can compete with each other in a very healthy way. And like this has really escalated, you know, this format. It blew up, especially in the past decade. And suddenly they get a hold of like this iconic, you know, film by starring Eminem, which is 8 Mile. And that really propelled like so many communities in Latin America to really exercise this language, right?
8 Mile immortalized the essence of battle rap, inspiring a new generation to step into the arena with a mic in hand and a verse loaded. A generation of Latinos that gravitated towards an image that spoke to their own experiences. The format of Batalla de los Gallos, two MCs engaging in a lyrical duel, a panel of seasoned MCs adjudicating the combat, echoes the essence of tiraeras, offering a contemporary rendition of the age-old lyrical duel tradition.
I think it was just great because, like, you know, these kids that perhaps come from, like, you know, low-income communities, impoverished neighborhoods, communities without support, there's, you know, unfortunately, like, a lot of aggression because of the lack of support that it has from, like, the larger scale. So when they come together, I feel that this is just a healthy way to like really exercise that.
The fusion of rhythm, poetry, and digital media in reggaetons, tiraeras, and batallas de los gallos signifies a vast canvas for artists to engage in lyrical combat. Each verse, each battle, each victory echoes with the spirit of resistance and expression that once breathed life into the streets of the Bronx, evolved into hip-hop, and was blended into the global expression of Latino pride and celebration that's known as reggaeton.
So I think that tiraderas are just a fascinating way of like a subgenre within Latin music, you know, that we've seen it evolve in a very different way as opposed to like the traditional American hip hop.
As reggaeton tiraderas continue to evolve, they find a parallel in the enduring tradition of Batalla de los Gallos. This annual competition, sponsored by Red Bull, remains a revered platform for Spanish-speaking freestylers to showcase their lyrical prowess. The global resonance of reggaeton and the allure of Batalla de los Gallos showcase the universality of the hip-hop ethos, albeit with a Latin flavor. The modern-day tiraeras are not merely a test of lyrical dexterity, but a narrative of identities, ideologies, and the ceaseless pursuit of recognition within the global music scene. They symbolize the enduring essence of reggaeton culture. It underscores the power of words, the allure of rhythm, and the undying spirit of competition that fuels the heart of every artist in their quest for lyrical supremacy. As reggaeton artists, freestyle MCs, and even DJs continue to engage in lyrical duels, the genre's culture continues to evolve, offering a poetic chronicle of a community ever ready to claim its narrative, one verse at a time. Join me on the next episode of El Flow, where we'll shift the spotlight off the headliners of reggaeton and onto the hit makers that make the infectious beats that make us perrear. The producers, because reggaeton is all about the beat, baby. The second season of El Flow was written and produced by Álvaro Céspedes and Reynold Gutierrez in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network and is hosted by me, Lilia Luciano. Edited by Carmen Graterol. Fact-checking by Samedi Aguirre. Executive producers are Carmen Graterol, Rose Reed, Isaac Lee, and Lilia Luciano. Sound design by Pachi Quiñones, Hugo Mendoza, and Gonzalo Messi. Special thanks to Veronica Hernandez and Pedro Aguirre. Our executive producers at iHeart are Giselle Vances and Arlene Santana. For more My Cultura podcasts, listen to the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.